When things in your life cannot be worse, never doubt the power of your own faith. And I want to read the scripture in line with that, that God especially put in the Bible for you and me today. And it's in Mark chapter 5, beginning at verse 25. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked around about to see her who had done this thing. And the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said to her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. There's no greater scripture in the Bible for us in the now, in this moment, and for us as individuals and as families, as this one in Mark chapter 5. And when you think about in your life, when things bad happen and that particular thing that's bad cannot be worse, that you have the faith to come against that. You can touch the hem of Christ's garment. You can be healed. And you don't have to wait a long time. It can start this very second. This morning, this day, God's healing power is in our midst. Let me tell you about this person. The Bible does not name her. It says a certain woman. Because he wants us to put our names there. He didn't put her name because he wants our name there, because the Bible is always up to date. It's always presently true. The certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians. That's not to throw off on doctors, because at that time, the level of medicine had reached a certain height, and there was nothing more that they could do. They did everything that they could do for her medically, but they could not do any more. Meanwhile, she kept going from doctor to doctor, just like the rest of us, until she spent all her money, and she was not better, but was worse. Everybody listening to me now has something that's bad in your life. And it's at a point where it can't be worse. This particular woman had a flood of blood, a fountain of blood flowing out of her body. Now, there's just so many quarts of blood in our body. And I want you to understand how dangerous this was, because they could not stop the flood of blood flowing out of her body. She was not getting better, but got worse, and it couldn't get any worse, because now she's at the edge of death. And there are things in our lives that happen to us, and we do everything we know to do, even medically. We search out for the best doctors and the best surgeons, and we spend our money, we even borrow money sometimes. We do everything we can medically, and we do things for ourselves, and nothing happens. We don't get better at that particular point in our lives. That sickness doesn't get better. That disease does not decrease. Or that trouble in the home does not diminish. Or that crippled condition in our body does not improve. Or the situation that we face with some individual continues to deteriorate. Until after a while, this particular thing can't get worse. And everybody in this audience and everybody at home has something that can't get worse. And my message to you from the Bible is, and it's right here in this scripture, never doubt the power of your own faith. You're not without weapons. You're not without power. You're not without an answer. You're not without victory. You're not without the ability to believe God, and God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you or I can think. Think about it for a moment. Never doubt the power of your own faith. Now, this woman, when her disease could not be worse, reminds me of Oral Roberts. When I was nearing my 18th birthday and was stricken with tuberculosis in both lungs at a time when there were no antibiotic drugs, and he died. And I lay 5 months with the blood flowing out of my body, coming from my nostrils and my mouth through terrible hemorrhages. And my bed was over toward the wall, and one night I hemorrhaged so bad during the night that, and my blood just spattered the wall. And my father had to repaper the wall of that bedroom. The blood was not flowing out of me like it was her, but it was flowing out of my nostrils and my mouth, and it was taking the blood from my body. And I was coming to the edge of death where I could not get worse and still be alive. And a great thing happened in my life. Somebody came along and spoke to me. And I heard something that my physical ears had heard and paid no attention to. But suddenly my spiritual ears heard. The ear gate that is connected to Oral Roberts' soul opened up. And I heard about Jesus. For it says here, when she had heard of Jesus, she said, if I can touch but the hem of his garment, just his clothes, I shall be whole of this plague. What did she hear? It wasn't something new, except about Jesus. For everybody in her time had heard about Jesus being alive and going over that little land of Israel and doing his mighty miracles. She had heard all of that, but it was by her physical ears. She had not heard through the eye gate of her soul or the ear gate of her soul. Her spiritual ears had not opened to know that this Jesus had something that she desperately needed. And she heard about the real Jesus. I doubt if there's a person in America who hasn't heard about Jesus Christ, who doesn't know his name, who has not heard that he came to the earth, was crucified, was resurrected. Physically, in their ears, they have heard that, or with their eyes, they have read that, but it has not registered who this real Jesus is. They've not understood that Jesus is the very life that they must have for the things in their life that are at their worst, and that he is the author and the finisher of their faith. In fact, that he has given them faith. The Apostle Paul said in Romans 12:3 that God hath dealt to every person the measure of faith. Everybody in this audience, everybody in this nation, everybody on this earth has a measure of faith that God especially put there. And that faith is in every one of us, whether we know it or not, whether we ever used it or not. And therefore, when things in your life cannot get any worse, never doubt the power of your own faith. For that faith is within you, and today we want to help awaken that faith so that that faith comes rushing like a mighty wind up inside you, and you begin releasing that faith so that this worst thing in your life is cast out by the power, the supernatural power of God, and you become a whole new creature. My sister came and said, Oral, God is going to heal you. 7 words as I lay there on that bed after having been there 5 months, hemorrhaging and coughing and the terrible bed sweats and the awful odor in my body and the tuberculosis eating up my lungs. Also, I was born a stammerer, and I was at the worst period of my life when God sent this sister of mine and said, Oral, God is going to heal you. And suddenly, the physical ears I have that had heard about Jesus all my life now became my spiritual ears. And deep within me, I heard about the real Jesus. The real Jesus was going to heal Oral Roberts when he couldn't get any worse and still be alive. And you're hearing, I'm telling you today, that there is a Jesus who is real. I'm telling you about a Savior that can wash away every sin of your life. I'm telling you about a healer who can heal every disease in your body. I'm telling you about a Christ who can deliver you from every trouble that is trying to destroy your being and take away peace of mind and peace of soul. I want you to hear about the real Jesus. Because when she heard about Jesus with her spiritual ears and understood who he is, she immediately began to talk the talk and to walk the walk. She said, I will go touch the hem of his garment. If I could just do that, this terrible plague in my body, this flow of blood that cannot be stopped by medical science that is destroying my life, is going to be stopped, and the plague will be gone, and I will be a whole woman. You know, hearing about the real Jesus, I remember in 1959, I had our big tent cathedral in Tallahassee, Florida, the capital city of the state of Florida. They seated 10,000 people, and people were jamming it and bringing their sick people and their lost people, and people were being delivered. And there was a family in that city, and they had a little boy, maybe 8 or 10 years of age, who had come into the world as a crippled child, with bad things in his hips, and he just couldn't get well. And this little boy heard about the big tent and about a man named Oral Roberts who was praying for the sick. He didn't know how to say it exactly, but he said to his mother what he had heard and said, I want you to take me to that Oral Roberts because I want Oral Roberts to heal me. And she said, well, son, it's not Oral that heals you. It's God that works through him that heals you. Well, he said, all right, then take me to God in that tent and let Oral pray for me. And I just would like for everybody to see how that little boy was healed, because we had the cameras that night and we showed it to all of America. But I took the little boy up in my arms and I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. And when I felt the power of God, I knew he had felt it. And I said to the mother, you decide whether he shall put his crutches down and whether he attempts to walk. And I put him down from me on the floor below. And when he tossed those crutches aside and began to walk, I thought I would leave that platform. I'm telling you, there's nothing like a miracle that will stir your soul. There's nothing like seeing a healing actually take place in front of your eyes, or taking place in your mortal flesh, or in your soul, or in your home, or in your family, that can do as much for you. And the healing of that child was one of the most remarkable things I've ever seen. But that's what God wants to happen to everybody, whether they're crippled or not. They're crippled in some way, in their soul or their body or their mind or their circumstances or their families or their marriage, or some kind of problem that has got bad and can't get any worse. And hearing about the real Jesus. Now, you can go to church all of your life, and your physical ears can hear about Jesus, and yet your spiritual ears don't hear about the real Jesus. One of the great problems in America, among the tens of thousands of churches and the half million preachers, is that people are not hearing well enough about the real Jesus. Many millions of people who go to church have no idea that this real Jesus can heal them, can set them free, can solve problems that nobody else can. As they are on the way to the surgeon right now, God Almighty, through Christ, can reach down and heal that body, and it doesn't need surgery. There are millions of Christians who really love God who don't know about the healing Jesus, but I'm here to tell you about him so you can hear about him. Turn over to Romans chapter 10, and let me read something very important to you about hearing. So that when you hear, you really hear. And this is in Romans chapter 10, beginning at verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? Of whom they've not heard. And how shall they hear without a preacher? You see, the preacher has a special part in your life. We preachers, like doctors, like every other profession, make mistakes, and sometimes one goes bad, as other professional people do, and it causes some people to lose faith in all ministers. But let me tell you, there are multiplied thousands of men of God, preachers, who have never stepped aside and won't. They're clean before God. They are living holy lives, and they are crossing your path at this moment, and this is one of them. There's nothing against Oral Roberts' life. I've lived a clean, holy life before God, and I'm telling you that because it's the truth. And the Lord has sent me here as a preacher. And how shall they preach except they be sent? I didn't, and nobody just decides to preach. Because if you do, it's like giving a nice little Rotary Club talk. It's not preaching. Real preachers preach real sermons because they are anointed. They are sent by God. How can they preach except they be sent? That's very important for you to understand. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. This whole world is at war in some way. There are places on the earth where literal war is going on right now, and people are being killed. But there are other types of war in people's homes, in people's lives, where there is no peace. The Bible says, they say peace, 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 but there is no peace. They have come to preach the gospel of peace and to bring glad tidings of good things. But listen to this. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? Now listen at verse 17. Here's the key. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How did this woman hear? Somebody came by. You know, Jesus sent out 12 apostles. He sent out 70 to preach. He sent out others to testify. Finally, somebody crossed this woman's path, and she heard the gospel preached. And when she heard it, it opened her spiritual ears to the real Jesus. What have you heard? What have you allowed yourself to hear? For faith cometh by hearing. Do you know how they get oil? I was born in the oil company, our country of Oklahoma. In Pontotoc County, when I was a boy growing up, they struck oil, some of it on some of my kinfolk's land. And they drilled down into the earth with great drill bits until they struck oil. And the oil then came up. I want you to notice here that faith cometh. Everybody say, faith cometh. It cometh by hearing, say it. It's like oil comes by drilling. They drill and the oil comes up. When you hear this sermon that I'm preaching right now, it's drilling down into your faith where God put a measure of it. When you came into the world, God put a measure of faith in your heart. It's there. You may never have used it. Just like we didn't use oil until about 100 years ago when they first learned how to drill into the ground for the oil. It had been there thousands of years. The faith has been in your heart all this time, whether you have used it or not. But it takes the preaching of the Word of God to drill down and discover that oil, to release it, to bring it up, so that you can release it to God and be saved, be healed, be miraculously delivered in other areas of your life, where the thing that cannot get worse will disappear and your own faith will do the job in Jesus' name. You've got that faith. You have that faith. Everybody raise your right hand and say, I have that faith. Say, I have that faith. Stand on your feet and raise your hand and say, I have that faith. Stomp your foot and say, I have that faith. Stomp it again and say, I have that faith. And turn to somebody and say, you have that faith. Thank you and be seated. I'm telling you, you have that faith. You who are watching me right now, you have that faith. You simply have to hear the Word of God, and you're hearing it now. And open your spiritual ears so that you hear. The physical ears won't do the job, but the spiritual ears, along with the physical ears, will open up and will cause that faith to come up. When she had heard of Jesus, the real Jesus, then the Bible says she said. Now, to walk the walk, you've got to talk the talk. To walk the walk of faith, you've got to talk the talk of faith. And she said, if I may touch but the clothes that Jesus is wearing. She said, if I can touch the clothes that Christ is wearing, I shall be healed of this plague. I shall be whole. This thing that can't get any worse will disappear. She said it. Now, saying is a powerful thing. No matter how you believe something, so many times you never say it. You never articulate it. You never put it into words. You never bring it forth. You know, if you never talk, you never say anything. I hope you got that. If you never talk, you go to the store to buy something, you can't buy it. If you don't talk, you don't get married. I said, I do, and I got married. And had 4 children with my wife, and 13 grandchildren. And I've been married 58 years, because I said, I do. Let me tell you, words are something else. The Bible says that the power of life and death are in your tongue. This tongue Your tongue is connected to your soul. Not only to your brain, it's connected to your soul. And when your soul that's connected to your tongue begins to act upon your tongue, and your tongue begins to act upon your soul, so that your tongue is speaking out of your soul, those words become powerful, and you begin to talk the talk in order to walk the walk of faith that delivers you from the thing that can't get worse in your life. I remember, if it were yesterday, the Bell family out in North Carolina, when Mrs. Bell kept coming to my crusade, and he didn't come. He was an alcoholic of the worst kind. And finally, she told us that life was over. The alcoholism had wrecked their marriage, wrecked their home, wrecked their lives, and she was going to do something about it. So here's what happened. She went to her husband and she said, "Bob, I have something to say to you. I have saved a little money, and I've bought a train ticket. I'm going to put you on a train and send you to the Oral Roberts Crusade." I was in another state at that time. "And you're going to his crusade and get delivered." And he said, "Oh, yeah." She said, "Oh, yeah. I tell you, you are going." And when the little woman says, "You're going, my friend, you're going." And sure enough, Bob Bell packed his little bag and she went with him to the train and put him on. And she knew him real well. So when they got to the first stop, the first town where the train stopped, she knew he would get off and go buy liquor. So she'd called the pastor in that area to meet him. And so when he got off the train, this pastor said, "Well, Bob Bell, it's so nice to meet you. I heard you were coming, and I'd like to stay with you until it's time for the train to leave." And so he put him back on the train, and at the next stop, another pastor said, "Well, Bob Bell, how nice it is to meet you. I'm here to be with you and keep you company until the train starts again." And when he got to where I was with the big tent and got off, a pastor met him and said, "We're so glad to have you. We know you're coming to the Oral Roberts Crusade. I'm taking you to dinner. I've reserved two seats up close in the tent, and I'm going to sit with you during the service." And when I preached the sermon, he heard about the real Jesus. His spiritual ears opened, and he began to understand that his condition, which was now at the worst and could not be any worse, and that he had faith. All he had to do was release that faith to God. When I made the appeal to the unsaved in the audience to come forward and receive Christ and be delivered from all of their bad habits, he got up and joined the hundreds and got gloriously saved by the blood of Jesus. And I mean, he got saved. When he got back on the train, he didn't need any pastor to meet him when the train stopped. He got back home and no more than greeted his wife until he drove downtown to the jail. And they said, "Oh no, he's coming again." For they had him in jail scores and scores of time because of alcoholism. He had slept in that cell until they had named it the Bob Bell cell. And they said, "What are you doing here?" He said, "I'm here to ask if there's anybody in that cell that's drunk." They said, "Oh yeah, we've got no boy in there." He said, "Lead me to him." And he said, "I want to go in there and lead him to Christ." And they led him in the cell, and he led him to Christ. And Bob Bell launched a crusade as a layperson, and the last count that I received, over 1,100 alcoholics had been led to Christ by this man. All because his wife said, "Bob, you're going to the Oral Roberts crusade. You are going. And let me tell you this, it's time that you heard it. Someone is telling you today. It's time that you got right with God. It's time that you confessed your sins to Jesus Christ. It's time that you believed on Jesus as your personal Savior. It's time that you were baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire and speak in tongues as the Spirit gives you utterance. It is time that your body is healed by the power of God. It is time that that thing that's so bad it can't get worse is eliminated from your life until you are whole from that situation and you become a new creature." Will everybody give a hand clap to Jesus Christ? She said, "If I can touch the hem of his garment or his clothes, I shall be whole." That was her point of contact. There was no healing in the clothes of Jesus. But to her, that's as close as she could get to him, because when she got there, she saw that he was surrounded by a great crowd. And she couldn't get through the crowd to him close enough. But she could reach through the crowd and just touch his clothes. And she said, "If I can do that." That was her point of contact. Now, what is a point of contact? When I began this ministry, God showed me a point of contact and that I must use it in my ministry, because people don't always know what to do to release their faith. And he shared with me that a point of contact is something you do. And when you do it, that's the signal for you to release your faith. In other words, when she reached out and touched, that was the signal to her spirit to loose her faith to God. In other words, the faith that you have means nothing if you don't release it. One woman said, "Oral, I have all the faith in the world." I said, "That's your problem. You still have it. Your faith has got to come out of you. It must be released to the Lord." Everybody say, "I must turn my faith loose. I must loose it to God. I cannot afford to keep it within me. It's got to come out." So you can get a point of contact, and it may be the chair that you're sitting in, that you touch it. It may be that you hold the Bible. It may be that you who are watching through television will touch the television screen. And as you touch it, you turn your faith loose. It is your faith that sets you free. You may be saying, "Oh, are you telling me that I have the faith to handle this thing in my life that can't get worse?" You do. You do. God said you did. That he has given to every person the measure of faith. That's in Romans 12:3. I had faith for the healing of tuberculosis before I knew that I had the faith. When they carried me to a man to pray for me, and the man did pray, I accepted that prayer. But I'll tell you where I was inside my own faith. Before I even got there, I was saying, "I'm going to be healed. I'll be healed." The moment that man touches me, that was my point of contact. When he put his hand on my forehead, and when I felt his hand on my forehead, I never heard much of anything except one phrase that he used, that I used myself. "You foul, tormenting disease, come out of this boy's body. You loose him and let him go free." Well, my faith went off like lightning. My faith went up to God. Oh, Robert's faith that he had had since he was born came out of his being. It was my faith. Of course, the man was believing too, but I was depending on the faith that I had. My friend, your faith is dependable. Your faith is dependable. Your faith is dependable. You can depend on your faith. Your faith is powerful. Your faith is able. Your faith has the power of God in it. You can release it and it'll touch God and you'll be delivered. You'll be delivered. I remember Gladys Hansen in the state of California, in the city of Oakland, California, where I had the big tent at that time. And Gladys Hansen was in her 50s and had been stricken with paralysis. And there's not much can be done for paralysis now, medically. They're making some progress, thank God. And I'm always delighted when medicine makes another advance. And medicine is increasing in its effectiveness all the time. But she had the kind of paralysis that nothing could do anything with. But she still had her mind. She could move some, but not to walk and not to get around and not to do anything of a major nature. Well, neighbors came who had been to my crusade and said, Gladys, God can heal you. There's a man in a big tent over there named Oral Roberts praying for the sick, and God can heal paralysis. But her physical ears, while hearing that, rejected it. She just ignored it. She didn't believe. She didn't think that God could or would. Other things went through her mind except that she wasn't going to that big tent and to receive healing prayer. But one day, someone who had kept on talking to her got through to her. And she finally said it the best way that she could, and you know how paralyzed people have difficulty in talking. How will I get there? I'm paralyzed. How can a car take me? They said, we will put you in a chair and we will strap you in this chair. We'll put you in a pickup truck up at the back of the cab and tie you to it so you can't fall out of the chair or the truck. And we'll get you to the big tent. We'll put you in a place where you can hear the sermon, where you can watch the people prayed for, and those who are healed, you'll see those. They said, not everybody gets healed, but many do, and when somebody's healed, you'll see it with your own eyes. So she consented to come, although she was not fully convinced. Now, you can understand that. I do. Well, I didn't see Gladys Hansen until I finished preaching and went to pray for the invalids, which at that time in my tent was over on the side of the tent where some 50 or 60 people who were not able to walk were waiting. And I always prayed for the invalid before I prayed for the public healing line, that is, people who could walk and come to where I was. Well, when I got to Gladys Hansen, I didn't know Gladys Hansen. I didn't know what had happened inside her while she was hearing the sermon. But faith had come up within her. And when I leaned over to touch her in Christ's name, I heard this whisper, Lord, let his hand be as your hand, and I shall be healed. I had never heard anybody say that. Lord, let his hand be as thy hand, and I will be healed. I knew immediately she wasn't depending on Oral Roberts' hand. And I knew that's the right way to do. Because it's not man that can heal. Certainly this man can't heal. But God's hand can heal. That became her point of contact. That was something that when my hand touched her, she would absorb that and she would do something with her faith. That would be her point of contact for the releasing of her faith, for it to go to God. Well, I touched her and prayed and walked off and began to pray for other invalids when I heard a commotion behind me. And Gladys Hansen was up. And later when I talked to her, she said this: "After you touched me and I let my faith go to God, I heard this voice inside me, 'Gladys, stand up.' She said, my first thought was, 'I can't.' And the voice said, 'You can.' And she said, I stood up. Then the voice said, 'Walk around this area.' She said, I walked. And about that time, I began to hear the commotion of her and the people shouting and rejoicing around her. Then the voice inside her said, 'Walk around the tent.' Well, the tent was 480 feet long, 220 feet wide, and the perimeter was a quarter of a mile around. And this voice said, 'Walk around the tent,' which she did. And she became so fully healed that people began hearing about her in different churches up and down the West Coast. And for the next 25 years, until she went home to be with God, Gladys Hansen became an evangelist. And thousands of people were healed because Gladys Hansen had said, 'Let his hand be as thy hand, God, and I will be healed.'" Now I come to the number one thing and I'm through. I want you to look at this now. And as we read it, I want you to listen to it in the light of the sermon that you have just heard. Listen to it. "And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years. 12 years. She now had almost bled to death. And had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had. She not only lost her health, she had lost her money. And somebody here may not have the money even to eat, because you've lost it all. And some of it because you're trying to get well, or trying to solve a problem, or trying to repair your car, or trying to repair your house. The money's gone. And had spent all that she had, was nothing better, but rather grew worse. And everybody here has something that's worse. It hadn't got better at all. You have something that's worse. It hadn't got better. And there's nobody and nothing on this earth that can make it better. It's as bad as it can get. It can't get any worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. And she said, 'If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole.' And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing that power had gone out of him, said, 'Who touched my clothes?' And his disciples said unto him, 'Well, will you see the multitude thronging you? Why would you say, who touched me?' Notice that she said, 'If I can touch his clothes.' And they said that you said, 'Who touched me?' When she touched his clothes with her hands, that was her point of contact. When she touched his clothes with her hands, but she touched him with her faith. Do you see what I'm saying? When you use your point of contact, that's one thing, but you're going beyond that and you're touching God with the faith that is in you. And he looked round about to see her who had done this, and the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, and this is it: 'Daughter, daughter.'" Can you imagine how sweet that word was? You look back at 12 years of this woman having a bloody hemorrhage, and the odors coming from her body. I want to say this carefully so you'll understand that it couldn't get worse. I wanted to dramatize in you the thing in you that can't get worse. 12 years, which had isolated her. She felt no part of the human race, no part of her family. When people got near her, it was an unpleasant experience. When you really get to the point where it can't get worse, you know how hard it is not to keep it to yourself. You know how easy it is to talk about it and to say it until you just drive people away. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to be near you. I mean, life is real. When things get bad, they're real. And when they really get to the place they can't get worse, then they're really bad. And you feel like you have no friends. I lay on that bed 5 months with loving parents and all, but it didn't matter to me. I was going to die. I wasn't going to get well because I had tuberculosis. I was isolated, even with people around me. But Jesus said, daughter. And you know what a daughter means to her daddy. I know what my daughters, Rebecca and Roberta, mean to me. He said unto her, daughter, 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 thy faith hath made thee whole. He didn't say somebody else's faith. He didn't say my overwhelming power did all of this. He said, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Now here are my last words. Who here has real peace? Who in the depths of your being can honestly say, I'm at peace with God? I'm at peace with my fellow man? I'm at peace with my job, my business? I'm at peace with people around me? I am at peace. I doubt if anybody in this nation, or at least not many, can say, I am fully at peace. But I'm talking to you about Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who can give you peace. Until you have peace that passes all understanding. It passes your brain by. It passes your mind by, meaning you can't understand it. You have it. You here in this auditorium, you walk out of it today with peace. Peace in your heart. You know what you're troubled about. I know what I'm troubled about. I know news that I've heard that upsets me. You've heard news that upset you. And you need to hear the Lord say, son or daughter. You need to hear it inside you with your spiritual ears. You need to hear him say to you, your faith is healing your body. Your faith is taking away that thing that can't get any worse. And we are at the point right now for that miracle to burst forth in your life. This is your hour. I want each of you to stretch your hand out. I want to pray a prayer with all those at home. I speak in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Son of the living God, who rose from the dead to set you free. And I'm praying for you now that the power of God will come upon you to help you loose that faith in your heart. I call that thing out of you in Christ's name, that you be healed. I mean that you be healed. That you receive forgiveness of any sin you've committed. That the power of God takes away the trouble in your life and gives you peace. Just give him thanks. Thank the Lord.